Well, good morning. We are in the book of Jonah. If you want to go to chapter 4 today, we've got two more. We're counting today. We've got today and next week. We'll be in chapter 4, and that will be the end of our Jonah series. And then the next week, couple of weeks after that, we have Easter coming up. And so we'll spend a couple of Sundays looking at what Jesus did for us, and then we'll talk about his resurrection. I will like to very much encourage you to ask someone to come with you to church on Easter. Easter is a day where people probably are more willing to come to church, and be mindful that there are statistics out there that 85% of people who go to church go because someone invited them. So will you invite someone to come with you in the next few weeks to service? Start asking them now, and that way they can only tell you no so many times before you break them, right? So this morning we are in the book of Jonah, like I said, and we've been talking about Jonah. We've been talking through his story and spent several weeks looking at what goes on in his life. He is a prophet. God calls him to get up and go to Nineveh. This is the only time that we see a prophet called to speak to a country other than the Israel itself. We see prophets do oracles against other countries, but we don't see prophets rise up or called up from Israel and go to other countries. Jonah is an anomaly here, and Jonah is the guy who says, "I don't think so, God." He doesn't want to do that. He says, I don't want this assignment, so I am not going to do it. So he literally gets up and goes the opposite direction that God calls him to go. And it says over and over again that he left the Lord's presence. And I think that is so important for us. We need to stay in the Lord's presence. So he goes, and God says, "I'm not letting you go. I have a specific, important job for you to do." And so he gets on a boat, and he starts heading west. And so God, it says, hurled a storm on the sea. And everything goes bad quick. And so the guys on the boat are freaking out. They're calling out to God. They don't know who's God's mad. And so they finally figure out it's Jonah. And Jonah says, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship Yahweh. He made the heaven and the earth." And he said, "The best thing you can do is throw me overboard." The guys refuse. And then they say, "God, it's not our fault. It's his idea." And they do it anyway. So they throw Jonah overboard, the seas calm, the rage ceases, and they begin to worship God. They sacrifice to God, they make vows to God. They do something very important. We see in this story something very important. They worship Yahweh. So Jonah ends up in the belly of a fish. And he gets out of that fish 3 days later on dry land, and he goes and he does what God calls him to do, and he begins to preach through the streets of Nineveh. It takes him 3 days to get from one side to the other, and his message is 40 days, and there's going to be destruction. And the people of Nineveh responded. They responded. They were sorry for what they did. They had contrition for what they did. They decided we shouldn't do that stuff anymore. And from the top to the bottom, from the king down to the lowliest peasant, they say it's time for a fast and time for mourning. And the king says, "Don't even let your animals eat. Put sackcloth on them. We've got to say we're sorry." And last week, I made the observation, which may not be very popular, that I don't think that Nineveh started a relationship with God. They were just scared that God was going to get them. And so God, he relents. God does not destroy Nineveh. And I think it's very important. You see, the men on the boat offer sacrifice. They make vows. Nineveh, they're just, "Oh, we got to change our behavior." And the point is, behavior modification is not relationship with God. You can change all the behavior you want to have. Does it mean that you are born again? You can walk down an aisle. You can be good for a little while. Does it mean that you have a relationship with God? So today we pick up with Jonah's response to God. Most stories would have ended at the end of chapter 3. This is the most underutilized, most ignored final chapter in Scripture of any book. Because most of us, you may have heard the story up to the fish, and the fish threw him up on the seashore. End of story. That's what we tell kids. We just tell them the short version. And then you may hear this version where he says, and he goes and he does what God calls him to do. And they are sorry. They repent. They turn from their evil ways. End of story. And God does not destroy Nineveh. End of story. Good story. Shit in there. This is how you know this story is true. Because there's chapter 4. If I'm writing this story, I'm leaving out chapter 4. Chapter 4 is not expected. Chapter 4 is not the way you end a story about God and obedience. Chapter 4 is ignored all too often. So today we're going to see Jonah's response to God's relenting. If you will, we're going to read the first 4 verses of chapter 4. And it says, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, Lord, please, isn't it what I said while I was still in my own country? Jonah says, let's go back to chapter 1, verse 1. You called me in my own country, and I said you were going to do this. So that's why I fled toward Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you were a merciful and compassionate God, slow to become angry, rich in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And then God responds. So the Lord asks him a question. It's interesting when God asks questions. Earlier we read from Job, and God asked some questions. Here God is going to ask Jonah a question. He says, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? You ever been mad? You ever been upset, ticked off, and your spouse or someone says, do you really think you should be mad about this? And all it does is make you more mad. Do you really think you should be ticked off about this? And you're like, shut up, let me be mad. But you can't tell God, shut up, let me be mad. So, I mean, get the picture here. End of chapter 3. Jonah says, 40 days. There's going to be 40 days, and God's going to destroy. And so they repent. What happens in those 40 days? Does Jonah just go and hang out at a coffee shop waiting for God to destroy? What's going on? We don't know. I can almost imagine Jonah going up on a hill, getting his lawn chair out, drinking something out of a coconut, and say, I can't wait for the show to begin. 40 days later, nothing happens. There's no hail, fire, and brimstone. There's no destruction of Nineveh. None of that. So what does Jonah do? Jonah becomes angry. First thing we see in this text is that there's anger with God. Jonah becomes angry. Angry. And if you understood why Jonah's angry, you may even join him. You may say, Jonah has a right to be angry. We like to use that. We used to talk about that in Sunday school. But we liked as Americans to use the word, I have a right to that. So Jonah has every ability, every right to be angry with God. First time we talked about Jonah, we talked about the Assyrians and how they're just cruel, evil, mean people. When they went to war, they didn't just go to war. They enjoyed war. And they did some horrible things to those they defeated. And Israel's part of that. Israel's part of that. Israel's paying them bribe money, tax money to say, look, leave us alone. We'll pay you off. We'll give you money. Just leave us alone. And Jonah's ticked. And God says, go tell them about me. And Jonah says, if I go tell them about you, they're going to repent, and I want them destroyed. They deserve to die. They deserve to be destroyed. They don't deserve to know about you. And Jonah finally goes through an ordeal. God helps him change his mind. He ends up there, and that's the very thing that happened. Jonah says, I told you so. And he gets murdered, and he's angry with God. You ever been angry with God? I know you don't want to admit it. Have you ever been angry? I'm not talking about asking questions like, God, why did this happen? Or God, why this or why that? But I'm talking downright angry with God. Jonah has his feet up waiting for destruction, and it doesn't happen, and he is mad. And he's angry with God. He can't believe God would do this. Ticked. You would think he wouldn't be so mad, though. I mean, he did his job. God calls a man to preach and to go and preach repentance. And as a preacher, you hear this story. And I hear the story, and Jonah goes, and he preaches for 3 days, citywide crusade. And he preaches for 3 days, and the people respond positively. For preachers, that's a win. For Jonah, it's mad at God. What's Jonah's problem? What's wrong with him? Not only is he mad at God, he's so mad he says, God, just kill me. I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to see Nineveh flourish. I don't want to see Nineveh repent. I want to see Nineveh being good. I want to die. I'm so mad. I don't want to be part of this anymore. I want nothing to do with it. Just kill me. He says, I knew you were going to do it. You're too good. You're slow to anger. You're relenting. You're compassionate. Those are all qualities of God that we want. And Jonah says, I hate that about you. Oh, I want them for myself, but I don't want them for my enemies. I don't want them for the people who've been mean to me and my brothers and my sisters and those people I love. I want them to hurt. How many times do we want God's compassion and God's long-suffering and God's slow to be angry and God's relenting for us? But we say, for them, drop a bomb on them. Destroy them. Make them hurt. Send them pain. And Jonah's angry. He's mad. God, thanks for your mercy for me. Thanks for your mercy for Israel. Thanks for your mercy for the people who claim to be of you. Thank you for that mercy. But God, your mercy has gone too far. You're supposed to keep it in our bubble. not for them. Why would you show mercy to my enemies? Ever felt this way? Ever felt angry that God had compassion on someone? Someone you don't like? Someone you don't care about? Someone that's hurt you? Someone that's talked about you? Someone that maybe has hurt your reputation in the community or with your friends, and you just, I want them to hurt. And then you see them repent and God forgive them, and you just stew in your anger. God, your forgiveness is not for them. It's for me. Jonah's angry. He's not the God that Jonah wants him to be. God is not the God Jonah wants him to be. He's the God he has created in his own mind, the God who loves people just like him and not other people. How many times do we reduce God to someone who hates the people we hate, loves the people we love, and acts just like us? See, Jonah has a theological problem. He's created God in his own image. And we do the same thing. And when God doesn't do what we want him to do, we get angry with him. We get mad at him. We get upset with him. It's not that Jonah's asking why. Jonah's mad. Jonah's upset with God's character. Jonah is upset with who God is. And he is so angry, he wants to die. That person doesn't deserve forgiveness. They don't deserve your love. He's angry. Nineveh are filled with evil people, and you should kill them. And we look at Jonah, we look at his life, and we look at what he says, and there are people, and there are groups of people, and maybe there are nations that we say, God, they deserve your wrath. Kill them. Then we see that God is long-suffering, and God is loving. We get angry with his character. We get angry with the things that show us mercy. We get angry with the things that show us forgiveness. We say, God, I can't believe you did that. See, Jonah's biggest problem is his heart. Jonah has a heart issue. Jonah hates Nineveh. It's not just a theological perplexed thing that he has. He doesn't just have this misconception of who God is. He literally wants to die because God has shown them mercy. And so God asked him, why are you mad, bro? Is it good for you to be angry? Is it good for you to be so upset? And his problem is, it's a heart problem. You see, Jonah is upset because God has saved, or God has not destroyed, people who wanted to destroy his country. People who wanted to destroy him just because of who he was. See, he has a relationship with God, but there's something else that he has more value. And that is his country. That is his people group. If you say, God, I will serve you if you do X, God, I will worship you if you do this, then whatever X or this is really your God. Like God is some genie in a bottle there to fill your order. That X, that reason you will serve God, is the only thing that's more important than God himself. We've got a heart issue. We've inverted that which we should worship. Our heart is not in the right place, and we are worshiping something besides God himself. Jonah tells God, who should be the source of the meaning of his life, I have no reason to live. I have no meaning in life. I have no point of going on in life. I've got no passion. I've got nothing. Just let me die. You save people who want to kill me. I've got nothing left. I'm a Jew. They want to kill Jews. If you don't want to kill them back, then I don't want to serve you. That's Jonah's heart problem. And we look at Jonah and we say, well, isn't Jonah good here? I mean, Jonah's being a patriot. He's being a good Israelite. He wants good for his country. There's so many Americans who are the same way. We would rather destroy people than see God bring them mercy. We would rather their destruction than their salvation. I'm talking races. I'm talking people groups. I'm talking ethnicities. We would rather their demise, them going to hell instead of their salvation, because we think they deserve hell. And God is willing to save anyone who will call on his name, and we get angry, and God wants to know, should you really be angry with this? Should you really be angry when people come to know me? Should you really be angry when someone of a different race, from a different country, from a different ethnicity, really meet me? Do you really think you should be angry with that? We say, God, just destroy him. And God in his compassion says, but wait, there's some of them who are going to come to know me. Got to be long-suffering. Slow to destruction. Thank God he waited for you. Thank God he waited for me. And he didn't destroy me before I came to know him. Jonah cares more about his country than he cares about God's desire to save the nations. Jonah cares more about his immediate circumstances than God's willingness, desire, passion to let the nations know that he is God. Instead of sitting in his lazy boy, watching or hoping for destruction, Jonah should have went out there and said, God was merciful to you. Now let me introduce you to him so that you can have relationship with him. Instead, Jonah's on the hilltop waiting for fire to fall. Hoping for fire to fall. Maybe even praying for fire to fall. Why isn't Jonah back in the town of Nineveh, back in the city of Nineveh, talking about the covenant that God wants to have with them? Here's the point. When we care more about our own interests, and when we care more about our own security, we care about our own things instead of the good and the salvation of other races, ethnicities, people groups, we are just like Jonah. may God's name be made great. May his word go forth. May he change our hearts so that our heart issues become issues where we can worship God for him. May he change our anger into joy. Are you angry with the God that you've concocted in your head? Are you angry because God does not act like you, because he doesn't behave like you, because he doesn't respond the way you think he should? We have a better understanding of who God really is. We better understand his actions. And it's better to obey God and serve him regardless of what happens. Why doesn't God destroy the nations that laugh at him? Why doesn't God destroy the nations that preach against him? Why doesn't God destroy the nations that kill his followers? Why? God is compassionate. He is long-suffering. He's willing to forgive if only they will call out. And Paul says, how will they know unless they're told? How will they know unless they hear? It's our job to tell them. It's our job to get the message to them. If we just sit back and say, God, get them, we're just like Jonah. Angry, mad at God. And then God asks us, you really should be angry with this? Showed you mercy, showed you compassion, showed you forgiveness. Why can't I show it to them? What makes you think you deserve it more? There are people in your immediate surroundings who need to hear about Jesus. There are people in your immediate surroundings who need forgiveness. There are people in your immediate surroundings who you hate, who Jesus, who God would love to save if only you'll tell them. Will you start with the people around you? And we'll let that spread across the world. Will you stand, respond to God? Maybe you need to ask forgiveness for an attitude like this. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness for anger like this. Whatever God spoke to you, will you respond to him?